Well, good morning, Hope Church. I do hope that you are well. My name is Mark. I'm the pastor here at Hope Church. And it's so good to have you join us wherever you may be watching in different parts of London and across the world. Now, let me ask you a question. When you think of heaven, what picture comes to mind? What image comes to mind? Heaven is dot, dot, dot. Fill in the gap. Maybe some of you want to do that on the chat. Heaven is dot, dot, dot for me. Maybe it is sitting on a tropical beach with the sun setting and an ice cool drink in your hands. Maybe it's the exact opposite. Maybe it's being on the top of a snow-capped mountain. Maybe it's a home full of people, full of family and friends, where there's laughter and food and games and fun going on. Maybe it's a romantic meal, you and your loved one, you and your husband, you and your wife. Whatever it may be, what is your picture of heaven? Riding a Ferrari around Silverstone as fast as is possible. What is your image of heaven? The Bible gives us a few different pictures of what heaven is like. My personal favorite, and one that is often used, is that heaven is like a banquet. Heaven is a banquet where all are invited. Picture, if you will, for a moment, a massive table with the finest of linen, with the most exquisite cutlery and glasses and crockery and dishes. And then copious amounts of food. Food, glorious food. Never-ending supply of your favorite dishes, from KFC to caviar and everything in between. The final parable that we're going to look at in our little mini-series looking at challenging stories that Jesus told is the parable of the great banquet. You can find it in Luke 14, verses 15 to 24. And I've called it the banquet of eternal joy. Just to give you very quickly the context. The context is that Jesus is in a Pharisee's house. And he's been just being a bit mischievous. He's been breaking rules. He's been healing people on the Sabbath. He's been talking about God's heart for Gentiles. He's been talking about him going out to seek and to save the last, the least, and the lost, and how he prioritizes them. And then Jesus is asked a question in verse 15, and he responds with a story. So I'm just going to read verses 15, 16, and 17 of Luke 14. One of those who reclined at the table with Jesus heard the things that Jesus had been saying and said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But Jesus said to him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time of the banquet, he sent his servants to say to those who'd been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.'" First point I want to make is this: everything is now ready. Notice that. Notice how the master of the banquet, how God himself says to the servants, go and tell people that everything is ready. That the guests would come to the banquet and the finest of details would be in place. There was no scurrying around to try and find ingredients. There was no trying to find five knives because there was not enough cutlery. No, no, everything was ready. Everything was in place for the banquet to begin. It was prepared to the minutest of detail. Everything is now ready. God is a God who has all things ready. Think about creation for a minute. Think about it. God did not create a single blade of grass until the soil and the atmosphere was ready for it to grow. God did not create a single creature, whether it be a fish in the sea, whether it be a bird in the air, or whether it be an animal to roam the land. He did not create a single animal without creating its habitat and food for it to eat. It wasn't that, you know, a lion got to this earth and it's going, what have I got to eat, God? What have I got to eat? No, the lion was created along with the salmon, along with the whale, along with every living creature, and the habitat and the food was ready for it to enjoy. For Adam, the first human, the work of creation was ready for him to enjoy. The Garden of Eden, he was told to enjoy. Adam did not come to an unfinished home, rather a complete and a pleasant one. When God was with the Israelites and they're about to enter the promised land, God went before the children of Israel. And when they came to the River Jordan, everything was ready. God had gone before them. God had won their battles. God had prepared a land flowing with milk and honey. With the gospel, with the good news of Jesus Christ, everything is ready. Jesus has died on the cross. Jesus has paid the blood sacrifice. Jesus has defeated sin and Satan and death. And the Holy Spirit has been poured out on all who believe. Everything is ready. Come and enjoy. If you're a Christian, if you're a saint, the invitation is always there to come and enjoy. It's ready. It's there for you to feast upon the goodness of God. It's ready. Come and enjoy the benefits of the gospel day after day after day after day. For those who don't yet know Jesus, those who the Bible calls sinners, those who have fallen short of the glory of God, who have missed the target, who have done things that are wrong, the invitation is to come and receive. Because all things are ready. It's ready for you to exchange death for life, your sin for forgiveness, your sorrow for joy, your weakness for strength. The greater your need, the greater the reason to come. All things are ready. Now, not in a week's time, not in a year's time, not one day in the future, but now. Now all things are ready. So many say, okay, but I'm not ready. I'm not ready. But that doesn't make sense. It's not about you. It's not about me. Nothing is expected of us except to come. It's the willingness to come. It's the willingness to believe. It's the willingness to accept the invitation and enjoy the banquet of eternal joy. So the first point I want you to remember is this. Everything is ready. Come and enjoy. Secondly, let's read on. Because the invitation goes out and the response is excuses, excuses, and excuses. Let's read from verse 18. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I brought a field. I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I have brought 5 yoke of oxen and I am going to examine them. Please excuse me. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and reported these things to the master. Then the master of the house became angry. Excuses. All of these excuses were putting something higher than Jesus. All of these excuses are putting something of higher importance than an acceptance of eternal life and a relationship with Jesus Christ. So I want to take a couple of minutes and look at some of the excuses that people give. Not necessarily to look after a field or an oxen, but the excuses that people give when it comes to the invitation of the gospel. Some people say, I'm too busy. I hear what you're saying, but I'm too busy. How can I entertain this invitation when work is so busy, the demands on my time? Family commitments are so great, or pleasures are so important to enjoy. Whether it be there's Netflix series to watch, there's sports to play, there's not enough hours in the day. Listen, we've heard that excuse many times. We know it doesn't hold water. We know it's not true. All of us know we prioritize what we deem to be important. And yet it's an excuse that so many bring. The second excuse that so many will bring is, well, you know, I'm actually okay. I'm actually really too good for this invitation. This message of grace, this message of the invitation to the banquet, that's great for those who are in poverty, or those who have issues in their life, or those who are lowlifes and criminals, but it's not for me. Listen, if you can't remember your sins of commission, i.e. the things that you have done wrong, all of us are guilty of sins of omission, things that we have failed to do, to clothe the hungry, to look out for the lonely, to love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our mind, day in and day out. The Bible is very clear. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You have one blot on your copybook, that's one blot too many. You are one rung on the ladder from the top of the wall, you're still not over the wall. No one is too good. Equally, the excuse that people will bring is, that's not about being too good, I'm actually too bad. I'm actually such a mess. I'm too far from God. I've done this, I've done that. You wouldn't believe the things that I've done in the past. Listen, Jesus looks for the worst of sinners and he comes and he says the invitation is for you. It's the vilest offender who truly believes. What wonder, what joy will appear. It's not about excuses not to come. More, the worse we are, the more filthy we are, the dirtier our rags, the more we need the cleansing, washing joy of the grace of God. The more sick we are, the more we need that physician. Another excuse people often bring is, well, I just don't feel like it. I hear the invitation, I hear about Jesus, but I just don't feel like it. I would put my faith and trust in Jesus, but I don't feel like it this morning. It can seem like a good excuse. That can seem like something reasonable to say. But listen, it has nothing to do with your present condition. Was Lazarus in a good state when he was raised from the dead? No. Jesus said, come back to life. It's not about your feelings. It's about trusting in Jesus and let him do the rest. You have a hard heart? Fine. Let it come to Jesus and he will soften that. You have questions and doubts? Fine. Come to Jesus and he will help you and walk you through them. We're to just come to Jesus. Not about how we feel. It's about coming to Jesus. Some say, well, it's too soon for me. It's too soon for me to come. Let me have a look at life. Let me have some fun. There's plenty of time. Why are you pressuring me? Why are you telling me about this? Listen, death is no respecter of age. No one knows the day, the time, or the year when we breathe our last. And Christianity shouldn't be looked like this, because Christianity is actually a joy and an adventure. It's not a killjoy. It's not something that detracts from your life, but rather something that benefits your life. And others at the very opposite end of the spectrum to that excuse will say, it's too late. Too late for me. Too late. My moment has passed. But listen, it's never too late for anyone. It's never too late for the grace and the mercy of God to come to an individual. Never too late. Look at the thief on the cross, a man on his deathbed. It's never too late. However big your mountain of sins, however far you feel from God, the love of God can come and cover that mountain of sins and wash away your dirt and your sin and your mess. Listen, excuses are foolish when it comes to the gospel. This is about eternity. This is about where we spend eternity. It's a question that is not to be played around with. It's not to be put off. It's an invitation to the banquet of eternal joy. Let's read on and finish the parable that Jesus tells, starting in verse 21. So the servant came and reported these things to the master. The master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. And the servant said, sir, what you commanded has been done, and there is still room. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways, to the hedges, and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those who are invited shall taste my banquet. Go quickly. Go quickly, the master says to the servant. There's an urgency to preach the gospel and share Jesus. And it's very interesting that the four groups of people that are mentioned in verse 21, they show us that no one is excluded. Because everything is ready. There's excuses. But thirdly, everyone has an invitation. Look at that, verse 21. If first he says, go to the poor, that tells you that class is not relevant. Money, home, car, bank balance, clothes on your back, none of this matters. The invitation is for all. It then says, go to the crippled. In other words, it's not about appearance. In that day and age, there was very, very little healthcare. People would have crippled, disfigured bodies, eye gouged out, dismembered parts of their body. Jesus is saying, look, it's not about appearance. It's not about class and money. It's not about appearance. And not just on the outside, also on the inside. Many will feel morally disfigured on the inside, either through something that has been done to you or things that you have done in your past. And the invitation is for all, is for all people. It goes on and talks about the lame, not just the poor, not just the disfigured, but the lame, i.e. those who would have found it difficult to come, i.e. they may have questions, they may have unbelief, they may have struggles. But the invitation is for the skeptic. The invitation is for those who are unsure. It's Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. The invitation is for each one of us. And then finally, for the blind. The blind, those that want to come but don't see the way. Those that need to be led by the hand and taken and shown the way to the banquet. The invitation is for all. Twice the master says, twice, go out. Go out. Go out with your invitation. You see, this is what we're called to do as Christians. The church is called to go out to the world and invite people to a banquet. I love a definition of evangelism I've always remembered. It's one beggar telling another where to get food. And I believe that there's a real urgency and a desperate need for this to be a priority for each of us, for Hope Church and the church across this land in 2021. And I want to close this parable with two challenges. The first one is that there is a personal opportunity. The master says to the servant, go out. God, or Jesus, said to his disciples, go into all nations, proclaiming the gospel, baptizing, discipling, go. God says to you, and he says to me, go. Go and share the gospel with your friends, with your families, with your neighbors, with your work colleagues. You see, this is the greatest calling we have on this earth. To go out and tell people to come to the banquet, to tell others about Jesus, to give others the invite to the banquet of eternal joy. What they do with that invite is up to them, it's between them and God. But we are called to be the postman, to be the delivery man, to deliver the invitation to the gospel of the banquet of eternal joy. I was talking on a Zoom call to John. Many of you will know him, John and Grace. And we were talking about a number of things on a call with Emily and Haley as well. And he shared something which struck with me. He shared about a book that Michael Green wrote. He's an English evangelist. And he wrote this book on evangelism. And this is what John shared, which just struck a chord. He said 80% of evangelism, effective evangelism of people coming to Christ, is personal. It's through your invite, my conversation, my interactions, personal evangelism. Only 20% is the big event. Only 20% is the guest service or the evangelistic rally. Now, often they have an interlinking and a connection between the two, but I thought that was fascinating and so helpful and a deep challenge to you and I. And then I was listening to a podcast yesterday by Rick Warren. He pastors Saddleback Church in California, huge, huge church. And he was talking about last year, 2020. They'd seen roughly 16,000 people come to Christ. Now, you might think, I might think, oh, I bet loads of people just clicked online and said a prayer. What was interesting, he said, about 4,000 people had made a decision online, listening to an online service, because they didn't meet for March and the whole of last year. They're still not meeting in terms of meeting in person. So, yes, about 4,000 people responded in that way. But 12,000 of those commitments to Christ were through personal interactions. They were through personal conversations that people had with neighbors and work colleagues and family members and friends, sharing about Jesus, one-on-one conversations. Listen, you can meet and reach people with the gospel that no one else can. You can give an invite to someone to the banquet of eternal joy that no one else could reach. Remember at school, those Venn diagrams, kind of interlocking, interlinking. There are people in your Venn diagram that only you touch. So let's be a bit more intentional in this season to pray for for looking for opportunities to share and to serve and to bless and to tell people about Jesus. Because it's through personal evangelism, it's through personal sharing of our lives and our stories and our invites to church and to read the gospel and to hear about the good news that people will come to faith. Second challenge. There's a personal opportunity. Second challenge. There's a pain opportunity. This past year and a bit, this past 14, 15 months, has been the most challenging and difficult that most, if not all of us, have lived through. It's been a season of pain. We've lived in a global pandemic. And even if we haven't lost loved ones to COVID, all of us have experienced pain. The pain of not being able to attend a wedding, the pain of not being able to attend the funeral of a loved one, the pain of missing out of life moments, life celebrations, the pain of missing out on outdoor concerts or sporting events or cultural institutions or whatever it is, the pain of missing out on human interaction. The pain of missing out of people in our houses and in our gardens and sharing life together. The world is in a state of pain and a state of grief. It is, right now. And we're all in this. It's not true that we're all in this together because we're all in the same storm, but people are in different boats. Some are in small little dinghies, some are in yachts. Some are clinging on to a piece of driftwood for dear life, and some are into all kinds of boats on the flotilla in between, but we're all in the storm. No one is avoiding it. No one is avoiding this season of grief and of pain. And in this season of grief and pain, we, the church, need to be ready with the gospel. We need to be ready to give people hope. To tell people about the banquet of eternal joy, of a place where there is no pain and no suffering, a place of eternity, which is heaven, where you can go through putting your faith and trust in Jesus. Here's the thing, listen to this, here's the thing. Jesus tells another parable, we're not going to look at it, but a famous parable, the parable of the sower. And the parable is very simple, the seed is the gospel. The seed is the invitation to the banquet of eternal joy. And the good news goes out, the invitation goes out, and it falls on four different types of soil. It falls on the hard ground, those who don't believe. It falls on the shallow ground, where it takes a short root, but doesn't really. People's hearts don't really receive, and it's soon lost. And then it falls, thirdly, on the crowded place where there is thistles and other things that grow up. It's the crowded heart. And then finally, there is the receptive, the fruitful heart, where the seed falls on good ground and grows strong. How? Here's the thing. How can the ground be changed? How can you change the ground? Through a storm. A storm changes the ground. When the ground is hard and the ground is dry, what changes it? Rain. Lots of rain and wind and a storm, and it churns up the ground. The ground is then churned up. And even the hardest of ground becomes soft in a storm. You see, the pain and the storm that we are living in, that humanity is living in, that people, your friends, your families, the people around you are living in, is a great opportunity for the gospel. We're to be ready to love those in pain. We're to be ready to comfort those who mourn. We're to be ready to go to those who are struggling with any number of different issues. We're to be ready with words of hope. We're to be ready with an invitation to the banquet of eternal joy. So let me close. Jesus tells this parable about heaven, the parable of the great banquet. Everything is ready. People will give excuses, excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse. But everyone has an invitation with their name on it to be delivered. And the challenge for you and I is to go to them. Go and bring the invitation. Don't you just love in verse 22? The servant's gone out once and told the lame, the crippled, the blind, the poor to come, and they've come. And then the master says, go out again. There's still room. Listen, there's room. There's so much room in heaven for all those who put their faith and trust in Jesus. But you and I have an opportunity in this season. It's a personal opportunity to share the invitation with those that we love, with our friends, with our family, with our work colleagues, with those that we come into contact with. And there's an opportunity in this pain, in this season, that will continue as restrictions ease. The pain, the grief will be what hits. Life may go back to some form of normality, but that the internal tsunami of pain and grief will come. And as a church and as believers, we want to be ready to love, to comfort, to speak words of hope and an invitation to the banquet. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for the glorious picture we have of heaven being a banquet. Thank you that all are invited. Every man, woman, and child who is walking this earth is invited to the banquet of eternal joy. Lord Jesus, would you stir us afresh today to go out with the invitation, to go out and personally invite and share and bless and love those that we come into contact with. And help us, particularly in this season that we are living in, of great pain and grief and disappointment. May the church, may Hope Church, and may each of us play our part in being there for those in pain and offering love, comfort, hope, and an invitation to the banquet of eternal joy.